I'm sure I was in them. I think we were in this first year I there. It's been about 1930.
Yeah, because, mm-hmm. or even maybe.
Do you know where we watched it from? I remember where we watched it from. You remember the Knights of Columbus room up over Franklin Avenue? We went up there and sat.
I think that's where I watched it. John was in the mill then, and they were all watched, the guys in the mill then.
Yeah, because the, by then I would have been in Dayton, because I remember the banks and everything. I was in eighth grade when all that happened. Mm-hmm. So probably that was my first year away. That's why I can't do it that well.
Why were the people so happy that they had parade?
I think it was the effort, and maybe I'm wrong. It seems to me that it was effort in that area to really try to support Roosevelt and to really to bring it support of the Democrats and that whole movement. I don't know, but that's just what I think that perhaps it was.
I wonder what that would have meant for the people that all supposed to be supporting Roosevelt, the Democrats.
It meant a totally different stance from what they had ever known in their history. Don't you think?
That's when the town really changed, though, from Republican to Democrat.
Yeah, that was the election, I think, where, remember, they threw the bills around on the porches, and I can remember this. At one time, not know if that was the first time, or if it was the next time Roosevelt was up for election. And remember, they threw the bills around saying if people voted, if it was Democrats be back in office, they'd take the real power. But I'm not sure if that was when he was. But he was reelected. He was elected anyhow. And Alan Cooper did go Democratic. So I don't know if that was the first time Roosevelt went in or if it was the second one. But like Pat says, that's probably when that whole thing switched to Democratic. But because they did vote Democratic, the town voted Democratic, I remember that.
What were some of the ways, besides the voting, what were some of the ways of getting all those people aboard the town?
Well, they put a lot of money into the town. They promoted the ball fields. They built the swimming pools. They built the ball fields. They had a band then. They used to have band concerts. And they sponsored pretty much anything. Any community project, J&L was really behind it, put up the money.
Oh, every summer. It was either the 4th of July or Labor Day. They had a picnic that lasted how many days? And I can remember all these tickets. Remember these
tickets?
The dad would bring them to work. And all the ice cream, all the refreshments, all the...
Lemonade was big then. So I remember those tickets.
I can remember those tickets. And I can remember afterwards regretting that they were in work. How about the library?
Yeah, the Memorial.
Yeah. And they had like the street commissioner really worked through J&L and paved the streets and all kinds of improvements. Like the Woodlawn Land Company, who belonged to Joe Lawson, and the Woodlawn Water Company was from the mill. Everything like that was controlled really by the company up until all this started turning around, becoming Democratic and getting independent and pulling away.
That Woodlawn Land Company, did they do a company, huh?
Yeah. And they owned a lot of land and property and everything that they sold. Because they things like that, they lost money.
Did J&L lay out the land?
Yeah, really.
Was that part of their idea then, that the ethnic groups and the black people?
I think
separate?
So, yeah.
Would you elaborate on why they wanted that?
I guess for control more. They had certain people that like was the boss over, the big man over that nationality, that group. I think it was really for control.
Can you remember some of the first efforts from the steel workers organizing committee when they first started coming in?
I don't, the only thing I can remember about the first thing I remember about the meetings was when I was a little girl and I was downtown, there was a car that sat in front of the home down in Franklin Avenue, and two men, I was told they were company men, and they watched to see anyone who would need to sign up for the meeting would be checked by the men in the car. Now, whether that was true or not,
they watched who ever went in and out regardless of why. They just watched who stopped in and went through this and what.
Stopped in where?
And, where there would be certain houses where guys lived and they knew were organizing unions. They were organizing. So they put a watch on their place at all times. And if they had one little headquarters like somebody down the street, they had somebody watching them 24 hours.
I can remember that.
Were people divided when that started?
Yeah.